In Jesus' name we have life. Lord, have mercy on us as we pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the great honor that you have given me to come to preach and teach your word. I recognize that it is the living word of God, and it is impossible for me to do it without your help. So I strip myself of confidence in my preparation alone. I put my confidence in your mercy to enable me to preach and teach this word. Give me fresh unction from your throne and anointing upon my heart and upon my lips, so your word will flow out of me like a stream of living water, bringing life and encouragement, bringing light, causing darkness to be dispelled from our hearts, so that we will see, Lord, and walk in the light that you revealed to us in the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray that your word will cause, Lord, an internal, eternal work to be wrought in our hearts, causing our wills to be more submitted to your will, our minds further illuminated with the revelation of the Holy Spirit, and our emotions further controlled by the power of the fruit of the Spirit, so we will go to a higher degree of glory in the name of Jesus. Lord, I duck under the covering of my fathers, pastor and mommy. Lord, let the anointing upon your word, let it increase and let it follow the word wherever it goes, toward the ends of the earth, to break yokes, to set men free, to heal bodies, to cause blind eyes to be open, deaf ears to be unstopped, strength to come to our feet and our ankle bones, so that we can run with patience this race that is set before us and lay hold upon the glory in the name of Jesus. Lord, I ask for mercy to be faithful. Help me to be concise, to be precise, to redeem the time. Not see unnecessary things, Lord, but as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom, to bring forth out of the treasure of this word, by your help, things new and old, to the praise of your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I want to give honor first to my father, Pastor Luby, and my mother, Mommy Sarah. She's also here by the power of light, just as you can see her. Amen. Thank you so much, sir and ma'am, for your love and your example and your prayers and everything that you are and that you do always. It's changing us and encouraging us, helping us to be more like you, and our prayers that you will see the travail of your soul in all of our lives, and my life in particular, and you will be satisfied in Jesus' name. I'm also praying that this word will be a blessing to your heart and a blessed heart of all of my brethren in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, we're going back to the book of Colossians, and today we're trusting God. Amen. We'll want to do a quick recap. In our last lesson in the book of Colossians, we're in Colossians chapter 2, verses 11 to 15. And in this portion of scripture, the Apostle Paul was very powerfully, you know, the Colossians were steeped in Judaism and legalism. So, and Judaism is, you know, is the religion of the Jews based on the Torah. That's Genesis, Exodus, Numbers, Leviticus, and Deuteronomy. You know, and all those diverse washings and, you know, killing animals, ceremonial sacrifice and observances. They were really steeped in them. Circumcision, etc. So you can see that in Paul, in talking to them here, was using terms that they recognized, but using it to show that things had changed from being justified by what you do to being justified by faith. And he was reminding them that they have been spiritually circumcised, but it's because of the circumcision of Christ through the death and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? And that circumcision removed the sin nature, which is like the type of the foreskin that is circumcised. It removed that foreskin of the sin nature. And through the blood of Jesus Christ, that brought remission and forgiveness of sin, gave them the new nature of God, which is eternal life. And was a very important point. You know, so to tell them that they were now partakers of the divine nature, and because of that divine nature, they were now able to fulfill the moral code or the moral law. Hitherto, they were not able to fulfill it. So when they did not fulfill it, they would have to do the ceremonial observances. They will have to do the diverse washings. They will go beyond the camp for 7 days, depending on the type of sin that they sin. Then they will come back into the camp. Then they will, if they don't have money to buy a ram, they will have to buy a small dove. If you cannot buy a dove, they have to do meal offerings. They have to do, there were so many things they had to do. Thank God for Jesus. Amen. So many, let's give Jesus a clap of it. There were so many things. Imagine in one day, how many animals will you kill? You can't even afford it. And if you sin in one, you sin in all. You can't say 90%. It's not like that. It's not 80%. One is all. And so it was very laborious. And so what the Bible says, if you look for the Lamb, next verse, that we were buried with him in baptism, and wherefore we are also risen with him through the faith of the operation of God. God did a spiritual operation. Highly classified operation that was not revealed to anybody, except God himself. Even the Son just knew a part of it. No, God didn't tell him everything. It was highly classified. Okay? And through that operation, he sent his Son. Satan thought he was winning, but he was actually losing. So he sent his Son, and Jesus took all of our sins, our current sins, our past sins, our future sins, and went to hell and paid for everything. Then he rose up on the third day. Let's look at it further now. Amen. Hallelujah. All right. And then he quickened him. And when he quickened him, your sin was in him. So when he removed the sin, your sin was removed. And when he received life, guess what? You and I received life. So when he quickened him, he quickened us together. Having forgiven us all our trespasses. It's not some, it's all. The operative word there is all. Next verse. Thank you. Quick. Blotting out the handwriting. So all those ceremonial observances, he took it and abolished it and nailed it to the cross. Gone. Forever. It's not coming back again. You don't have to do those things again. That was the key point I was trying to say. That is nailed it to the cross. Next verse, verse 15. And having spoiled principalities. So he now, after dealing with the nature of sin, Jesus now went and faced the power behind sin, which is Satan himself. He spoiled principalities and powers. He broke them backbone. He broke them totally and utterly, and then put them in chains. And like we said, he told them, like the Message Bible says, told them to march. March! And you know, you cannot tell them to march because you have made us more than conquerors. Same thing. Okay. All right. So we see that he stripped all the spiritual tyrants of their authority. So Jesus took away Satan's authority and power. Very important. The authority that Adam gave, Jesus took back. And then he now gave us the power to live a holy life, to live a life of a victorious life in divine love. Amen. Based on that finished work. And we see that this spiritual operation was designed by God the Father. We saw that in our last lesson. He's the architect of the plan of salvation. And Jesus provided all the materials by coming to die for us. He is the contractor. So he gives us his blood. He gives us his life, which is nature. He gives us his word. All those three things he supplies. And then the Holy Spirit now takes all those three. They're working together in unity. The Father designs the plan. The Son supplies the material. And the Holy Spirit takes that and says, implement it, and it will be a reality. That is the will of God for us. To use all that Jesus has provided and use it to become the Son of God. Like the Son of God. Amen. Amen. Like the Son of God. Thank you, sir. All right. And in doing that, we see that when we get born again, God changes your status. Your status has changed. You are no longer an alien. You are now covenant child of God. Amen. Your status is very important to understand, because you need to know who you are. Because if you don't know who you are, you'll be trying to prove a point that you don't have to prove. You know what Satan told Jesus? If you be the Son of God, turn this so prove a point. I don't have to prove anything. I know who I am. So you need to know who you are. So the first thing is that we must understand who we are. That we are covenant seed. And that covenant status gives us spiritual connections. We are now connected to God through Jesus Christ. Amen. We are in Him. So the same life flowing in God is flowing in us. Amen. And because of that nourishment and that flow, we now have citizenship. We have rights and privileges that we can exercise through the life and the power that is flowing from Christ. Very important. That's what we saw in our last lesson. By the grace of God, we're now going to verse 16. Amen. Let's read it. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of an holy day, of the new moon, of Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. He's talking here to us. Let no man judge you in meat or drink. These are all things that they used to do. They were all part of the ceremonial observances that existed, you know, in the law of Moses. And Jesus, Paul, Apostle Paul here, is stating again to the Colossians that their right standing with God comes by faith through the confession of their sins and not by moral law and ceremonial observances. For by the law shall no flesh be justified. Romans chapter 3 verse 20. Please give it to me. Quickly. You need to move quickly. Thank you. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. Give us in the Amplified. It shows it a bit more light. For no person will be justified, made righteous, acquitted, and judged acceptable in his sight by observing the works prescribed by the law. For the real function, I can't hear you. For the real function of the law is what? Make men recognize and be conscious of sin. Not mere perception, but an acquaintance with sin, which works towards repentance, faith, and a holy character. Amen. Why did God give us the law? God gave us the law to prove that we cannot keep the law. That was the essence. It was not supposed to be trying to be doing every day. It was showing that I'm not succeeding with this thing. I'm basically where I was last year, where I was 7 years ago. Who will deliver me from this body of death? That was the whole idea. Okay? Right. So, and we see here that ceremonial law was a shadow. And a shadow, as you well know, is not an accurate depiction of who a person is. I can't tell your facial features from your shadow. I can't even tell your height from your shadow. Because depending on how much light or where you are standing, or the angle of light, your shadow can be longer than you and it can be shorter than you. So the shadow was a pointer, but the substance is who? Christ. So what is God saying there? God wants us to see the essence of the law face to face. Directly, not through shadows. And we do that by looking at Christ. Christ is the substance. He is the standard of the law. Romans 10, chapter 10, verse 4, please. Christ is the substance of the law. Thank you. For Christ is the what? End of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. That's the end. If you want to fulfill the law, follow Christ. He is the law. Bible says he is the way, he is the truth, and he is the life. So he is the embodiment of law. And we know that Jesus is love. God is love. Amen. Verse John 4:16 tells us that. We're not turning there. So really, walking in the love of God enables us to fulfill all the law. The Bible says that against such, there is no law. But no, the Bible says that if you fulfill this commandment in the book of Romans 13, that once you fulfill law, you have fulfilled all of the law. It's very important. So really, God was really pointing to law, but the Jews didn't see that. And we also need, in our own day-to-day, we need to understand that we must move from shadow to substance in our lives. Amen. It was a very big challenge for the Jews, and it still is a challenge for us today. I'm sure you've seen people using holy water. I'm sure you've seen people using holy water. And they're thinking that the holy water, you know, is a type of life of God. It's a type, but they use holy water. People use candles. Hello? How about you? You have life in Jesus' name. They use candle. They use a certain color of garment to depict something. But the essence is holiness inside. But it's all shadow. And we must stay with the substance. Yes, we look at those things, but then there's a New Testament equivalent that we get through light from the Holy Spirit through the Word of God. That's what gives you the substance. Revelation knowledge of the Word of God from the Holy Spirit. God will open up the Word and you will see the substance and you walk in it. In fact, many times when you walk in the substance, then you understand the shadow perfectly. And then you can teach the shadow to others. Amen. Alright, so it's extremely important to understand that. Also, we need to appreciate, like I said earlier, who we really are in Christ. Look at Galatians chapter 4, verse 5 to 7. Galatians chapter 4. Talking about us. To redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Next verse. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son. Where? Into your hearts, crying, Abba Father. Next verse. Wherefore? I can't hear you. Say, wherefore? Thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then you are an heir of God through Christ. You are spiritual royalty. Give God a super hand. Amen. That's who we are. You are an heir. And you need to know who you are and live like it and live in the reality of who you are. Amen. You need to prove that you are not a servant, you know, to yourself. Bible says prove the will of God. So you prove it, you prove it to yourself. And then, you know, so you need to prove the will of God, and you do that by growing spiritually. Look at Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Romans chapter 12. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, plural, that you what? Present your bodies what? A living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Next verse. And be not conformed to this world, but be what? Transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may what? Prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. God wants us to progressively prove that we are spiritual royalty. God wants us to prove, yes, to experience the authority and the power, the same authority and power that Jesus Christ demonstrated on the earth is yours. Bible says, I said ye are gods. So God wants us to really live and experience that. You know, walk in the living experience of it, so that we can understand who we are. So really, brethren, we need to grow. We need to grow in light. We need to grow in grow up into Christ. You need to grow spiritually. If you stay on one spot, you remain a servant, even though you are not a servant. The Bible says so, that you are not a servant. But by virtue of the fact that, if you look at Galatians chapter 4 further up. Galatians chapter 4. Now I say, the heir. Who is the heir? Hands up if you're an heir of God. Hands up. Okay. Now I say that the heir, as long as he's a child, different what? Nothing from a servant. Though he be what? You are Lord of all. I said you are Lord of all. But you need to grow. From a baby to a child, from a child to a young man, and from a young man to a father, then you prove the will of God. And then God says, have you considered? You mention your name in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So this is the will of God for us. Amen. So let's move on. Don't let anybody reduce your dignity or your sense of worth to primarily what you eat and what you drink. If you don't do that thing, no. Sometimes even our conscience has been steeped in doing things the old way. I don't know. Sometimes if you don't do a particular thing, you'll be feeling guilty. Yes. Dead works. You'll be feeling guilty, and you know you are obeying what. You know, sometimes even to pray can be wrong. If God said you should do something else. Hello. Whatsoever is not of faith is what? Sin. So a particular work doesn't justify you. A particular kind of dressing doesn't justify you. A particular kind of food does not justify you. Nothing really justifies, not even from outside. What justifies us is the blood of Jesus Christ. That's what justifies us. And that gives us access to the life of God, so we can then live in the power and the wisdom of God. Amen. So that's the will of God for us. So don't let, that's what Paul was telling the Colossian brethren, don't let anybody judge you in meat. You know, when you celebrate Christmas, when you fast, how frequently you fast, how you dress, you know, you're not judged by those things. However, there's a balance. No, because the main thing now we're talking about is Christ. So we are judging you by how much Christ is inside you. How submitted is your will to the will of God? How much light of the Holy Spirit is in your mind? How much of the fruit of the Spirit is demonstrated in your conduct? That's how God is judging us. And if those things are there, it will affect how you dress. It will affect what you eat. It will affect what you do. The key is that your righteousness is from inside out. It's not from outside in. So be free, because God has set us free. So let us stand in the liberty wherewith Christ has set us free. Amen. All right. So it's very, very important. It's very important. Now, of course, you know that our liberty in Christ must not use it as an occasion to indulge. Don't say I'm free so I can eat what I like. No, the Bible says that you must be temperate in all things. Temperate means that you have that thing under control. It doesn't control you, you control it. So money is good, but it must not control you. Hello? Your children are good. They are the gift from God, but they must not control you. Hello, sir? Yes, sir. You know, it's very important. Television is good. Football is good. I can tell you from experience. But it must not control you. Some days you do without it. And after many days, yes, sir, there was a time, I give God the glory. God is a good God. There was a time when to leave football was a big deal for me. Big deal. Big deal. I'll be thinking, one day to score. Ozil, Joe, play properly today. I've been begging God. Father, I confess my sins. Jesus said, I have life. Today, they play Champions League. I'm not watching. How many do you watch, have time to watch? You can't do those things. They will take you backwards. Because you need time to serve God. Depending on your level of growth, though, you're not under bondage. All right? But, I mean, at your level. Everybody at their level. Amen. Alright, so we must be temperate, but say temperate and moderate. Temperate and moderate is the key. So, but we're free. Let your moderation be known in all things to all men. Alright, so let's move on to verse 18. Amen. Let no man beguile you of your reward. What is our reward? The glory of God that comes through the fullness of Christ. Thank you, sir. The fullness of Christ with the glory of God. That's your reward. Now he's warning us. You know he's warned us before. That let no man through philosophy and vain deceit. Earlier up in this same verse 2. Now he's warning us again. It means that there are many things that Satan is using. To try to rob you of the fullness of Christ. If you remain a Christian and remain on one spot and go to heaven. It pays Satan. Than for you to go to beloved. Because if you get the fullness of Christ, you become a terror. Because you are now fully mature, perfect and entire. Bible says that the Son of God destroys the works of the devil. The child cannot destroy the works of the devil. The baby doesn't destroy the works of the devil. Even the young man doesn't destroy the work of the devil. It is the Son of God that destroys the work of the devil. So he's afraid. So he will give you anything. So he's warning you again here that let no man beguile us of our reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he has not seen. Means that the Holy Ghost didn't show him. It's another spirit that showed him. It's a sensual thing that came up from him and his own soul with wicked spirits. Vainly puffed up in his fleshly mind. So there's pride there. It's talking about leaders. That there are leaders in the body of Christ that will teach you false doctrine, telling you that you cannot be perfect. that, you know, you could just be, do your best in this life. While we are in this flesh, we cannot be perfect. He's robbing you of your glory, of your reward, beguiling you. He's trying to ensnare you. He's trying to charm you, trap you, defraud you, you know. Let's look at it in the Amplified. Let no one defraud you by acting as an umpire. Are they the umpire? Who is the umpire? God. Righteousness is defined by God. It's not defined by man. And it's defined by God through his word. Let no one defraud you by acting as an umpire and declaring you unworthy. You that are a son. Imagine. You that are blood bought. Imagine. And disqualifying you for the prize. Insist. The prize of the high calling. Amen. And insisting on self-abasement and worship of angels, taking his stand on visions he claims he has seen, vainly puffed up by his sensuous notions and inflated. That sounds like a balloon. Inflated by his unspiritual thoughts and fleshly conceits. This stems from not submitting to the word of God. When they don't accept the word of God, they now teach you the wrong thing. From their own personal experience. As if their experience supersedes the word of God. When God himself says that he submits, God has submitted his name, you know, he has exalted his word far above his own name. God himself submits to his word. So who are these people? They are beguilers. They are beguilers. They are false teachers. Yes. They are trees that are plucked off from the roots. Christ there, trying to take us on the same path. Bible says, beware. Beware of their teaching. Any teaching that is telling you that you cannot be what the Bible says you are supposed to be. The Bible says, be ye perfect, as your Father in heaven is perfect. The Bible tells you, therefore, brethren, having these promises, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and of the spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. The Bible says that 1 John 2:5 tells us that whoso keepeth his word, in him verily, individual, is the love of God perfected. What are they talking about? This is the word of God. It's a lie of the devil. And we answer lies with the truth. We hold on to the truth. I would say, let no man take thy crown. Hold on to these things, brethren. You know, you have to believe. So anytime you hear the word of truth, it's very important you quickly obey. Immediately, don't delay. Don't be slow of heart to believe. Some people are slow of heart. They know how many people are believing it. Bro, do you believe that? Sis, do you believe that? Look at Galatians chapter 1, verse 15. Look at what Paul did. Paul was so steeped in Judaism. I don't want to waste time, but before this verse, he talks about, verse 13, he talks about how he excelled above everybody in this religion of Judaism. He was like a first class. He graduated first class. Summa cum laude. In the law of the Jews, he was number one. But Bible says, when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace. Next verse. To reveal what? His son. That's perfection. In me, that I might preach him among the heathen. What did he do? Immediately I confirm not with flesh and blood. Immediately. Stop looking for other people's approval. Stop looking for other people's endorsement. Believe the word of God is speaking to you. You're not too young. If you can understand it, it's speaking to you. If you can understand, it's speaking to you. Take it and use it. Amen. So we see that this walk in liberty, it depends on how much light you have. It's very important. You have to have light. Otherwise, Satan will just play you like a ball and take advantage of us because we don't have the light. You know, look at 1 John chapter 1 verse 5. 1 John chapter 1 verse 5. Very important. Quickly. This then is the message we have heard of him and declare unto you that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. At all. God doesn't have any small 0.00001 of light, of darkness. God is absolute light. Look at next verse. If we say we have fellowship with absolute light
and we walk in darkness, we do what?
Lie. And we're not doing what the truth is. Next verse.
But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from what? All sin.
So walking in the light sets you free from sin. Walking in the light makes your light increase. You can also become light and have no darkness at all. That is the will of God for us. Amen. And we must keep walking that light. So we grow in light. Everybody say, grow in light. We must grow in light. Amen. And we increase that in sanctity by walking in divine love towards God and towards another. Look at 1 John chapter 2, verse 10. Just next chapter. 2:10. He that loveth his brother does what? Abideth where? In the light. Because you know you can walk in light and go back. You can walk in light and go back. You can have revelation, but you must walk in it. Otherwise, you don't hold on to it. So he's talking about practice now. Since he that loveth his brother abideth in light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. Why? Because he's seeing clearly. How can you stumble when you're seeing? It's not possible, because you know where to put your leg. And you will not stumble. You will not stumble in Jesus' name. Amen. So we have to walk in divine love. So let no man judge you with false doctrine about praying to angels, fasting for forgiveness. You don't have to pray to angels. You don't have to fast for forgiveness. You don't have to do penance. All those things are not of God anymore. You don't have to do all those things. No, we are above angels. That's what the Bible says. They are ministering spirits sent to serve. How can we pray to them? Holy Michael, Holy Uriel, Holy Raphael. How do you know their name is Raphael? Where did you get that from? Who told you their name is Holy Uriel? Vainly puffed up in their minds. Selling us now. Now you to be repeating it. In Jesus' name. God will have mercy on us. I used to be in that place. Though. See how God has had mercy on me. Holy Raphael. God can help me. God can help anybody. Amen. Amen. All right, let's continue quickly. All right, so we stand on the word alone. Don't stand on any prop. Don't stand on the prop of your achievements. Don't stand on the prop of what you have. Don't stand on the prop of your children. Don't stand on the prop of influence or power that you have, or how intelligent or how creative you are, your laurels in the past. Those things don't justify you. You're not justified by them. You must understand. Never stand on them. In your consciousness, in your mind, those things, you must strip them off. They are grave clothes. You know when Lazarus was healed, when he said, Lazarus, come forth, he came forth, but he was wrapped around in grave clothes. He couldn't see because of the grave clothes. He couldn't talk because of the grave clothes. He couldn't walk because of the grave. He couldn't do anything. He was wrapped around like a mummy. You must remove those grave clothes, so you can see, talk, and walk like the Son of God. You must remove it. So this girl, look at Isaiah 40 verse 3 to 5. We must remove those grave clothes. Isaiah 40, 3 to 5. Give it to me quickly, quickly, quickly. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert of our souls and our bodies a highway for our God. Next verse. Every valley shall be exalted. Those valleys, they're grave clothes. And every mountain and hill shall be made low. Grave clothes. Every crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. And when you remove those grave clothes, what do you get? And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall what? See it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. See, why did he say for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it? He said, so I can believe. There can be God alone, no source. And no alone, no saw. Which one is your own? Just repeat what God said. That's why I said the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. He said that, believe it. It's your daddy that said it. If your daddy, sir? Yes, because God knows you have a problem believing it. No, believing is in stages. It percolates deep, deep into your consciousness. Deep, deep. You know, so that's what God is saying. That we should believe it. And then we must obey. My valley will be filled. Baba mi lo sobe. Say amen for me now. Ah, amen.
Say, every queer place in your life will be made straight. Baba in lo sobe. That's it. Daddy said it. If daddy said it, it's good enough for me. I don't care who else doesn't agree. My daddy says so. And my daddy's going to make it good. Amen. That's the will of God. Amen. So don't let anybody judge you. If they're judging you now, they're judging you before your time. Oh, yes. Because with time, you're going to demonstrate the glory. Don't judge before the time. Don't judge before the time. Give it time. They're going to see. Amen. So it's very important that we remove these grave clothes. And we must, how do we remove these clothes? So we hold on to the word of God. Amen. No, and we watch and pray diligently. It's very important. Okay. So how do you hold on? No, Pastor taught us beautifully, you know, about being strong in faith. And there are four things, remember four things that Pastor said that we should remember to do. Number one, believe it. Let's say it now. Believe it. So you see the invisible. So let's say believe it, speak it, pray it, and give thanks for it. Those four, if you do them consistent, if you believe the word of God, you know, and you go back to the word of God, you check it, like the Berean Christians. You check it, and you get revelation of it. Upon that rock is that word of God going to be built, and the gates of hell will not prevail. Then you speak from that. You know, then you pray that, and you give thanks and faith for that. It will come to pass if you don't give up. It will come to pass. Alright? So that's very important. And anytime you see grave clothes in your lives, inferiority complex, superiority complex, you know, wrong mindset, insecurities, you know, lack of liberty, lack of true identity of who you are, you know, you conform. Let me give you an example. Galatians chapter 2, verse 11. I think I should do this because it's important. But when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face, because he was to be blamed. Next verse. For before that Satan came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles. But when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself. That's the law of Judaism. You're not supposed to be eating with sinners. So before, we were eating together. We are brethren. Then when I want Baba brethren, I want senior apostle, I want big man, I want most senior apostle. When they came, Peter said, I wasn't eating with them. Fearing them, we too have circumcised. Love was not made perfect. Next verse. And the other Jews dissembled likewise with him. You know, there's power of influence. There's power of influence. Insomuch that Barnabas, that it was a man of God in his own right, also was carried away with their dissimulation. Next verse. But when I saw that they walked not uprightly, they were bending. Hypocrisy. They were bending. When I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel. That was not the truth. They were walking out of the truth. You know what I did? I said unto Peter before them all, he rebuked them publicly. Because it was for the gospel's sake. If thou being a Jew livest after the manner of the Gentiles and not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? Next verse. We who are Jews by nature are not sinners of the Gentiles. Next verse. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of who? Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. He told them to their face. Look at verse 18. Verse 18. For if I build again those things which I destroy, I make myself a transgressor. You know the danger of these grave clothes. If you live and walk in them, they rob you of the power of God. You will not grow. As long as you don't grow, that's fine. But sometimes you retrogress. You will not believe that you live, but you will not be able to really do the things that you're supposed to be doing, because they will bind you. You won't see what you're supposed to see. You can't say what you're supposed to say. Some people will leave it and say, I will correct them later.
Of course, you know how many times have you seen people do the wrong thing and you keep quiet? Wisdom, me. Mokoniki, no wisdom. Now, of course, you know, the Bible says rebuke not an elder. You have to entreat them. But the truth is that there is a place for speaking out, you know. There is a place. That's what is fundamental. But then when the truth of the gospel that is fundamental is on the line, you have to stand up and be counted. Who is on the Lord's side? Don't come and put your hands up in church when you have denied God in the office. When they were talking about X, Y, Z and abusing the president and saying another, you join them. Hello. They were saying this and this and you two, you are joining them. Instead of you to rebuke them to their face. And then this is not supposed to be so. You're not supposed to be saying this. And walk away. Oh yes! It's counted for you to write. Look, there was a man in the Bible called Phineas. Somebody brought an Egyptian woman in front of the whole Israel to Moses' face. It was an insult. And they brought that Egyptian woman and went and took the woman into his tent. Moses Obasoro. Moses did not tell him. Moses did not ask him. Moses did not send him. It's God that told. Phineas saw it and said, nonsense. Nebo, he carried a spear, went into the man's tent and put the spear, rubbed he pinned both of them with the spear to the ground. And Bible says it was counted him for righteousness. And they gave him general blessing on top. Brethren, there is a, I must say, go and trick somebody with a spear, please. Have mercy on me. I didn't say that. What am I saying? I'm saying, stand up for the truth. Amen. Stand up for the truth. I beg, please don't kill everybody with a spear. But stand up for the truth. You know what I mean? Amen. Stand up for the truth. Don't let things pass you by. Stand up for it. Speak out when you should. Correct when you should. They won't like you. Doesn't matter. We're not in a popularity contest. You know what the Bible says? You know, we don't not compare ourselves amongst ourselves, you know. Yeah, the Bible says so. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 12. So if you compare yourself, you know, you are not wise. Why? Why do we do that? Because we are seeking commendation. I'm seeking commendation from you. You commend me, then I feel commended. Know where our commendation is coming from. It's coming from God. 2 Corinthians 10, 17 and 18. For it's not him who commended himself, but him whom the Lord commends. So you better look for God's commendation. Say it if you don't like it. Don't care whose ox is God. You don't like it today. Tomorrow they'll come and tell you, oh, you are such a blessing in my life. Give God the glory. Like Pastor said, I'm not your servant. I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about my children in life. I don't serve you. I serve God. And then but you are just a beneficiary by example. So I'm not looking for what I'm going to say. No. I'm going to do what is best for you. And today you may not see it. Tomorrow you will see it. That's how it is. And walk away and leave it. I know this walking in faith. I want to end with this. You know, Abraham and Sarah, they staggered not by this thing. You know, because when God spoke to Abraham in Genesis 22 and said, take your son, thy only son whom you love, and take him up and sacrifice him unto me. Can you imagine what would have been going through his mind? This is the same Abraham that had received the promise by believing it, seeing the stars that were letting create an invisible picture, by speaking it and calling his wife mother of many nations, by praying it, you know, and by giving thanks, giving glory to God, being strong if you're giving glory to God. Same Abraham. God now came after some years and said, take that same son, the one that I gave you after all that, take him and go and sacrifice him to me at the place that I will show you. And immediately Abraham obeyed. That's about that. That's the immediate thing there. Immediately Abraham obeyed and took the son and said, we are going out. Also, Sarah, we are going out. We are going camping. He did not tell her. We are going camping. And he took the boy and he went. And as he was going, he was praying. These same faith principles. He was praying. He was thinking about it. And God got more light. He kept getting more light. That this, if this boy is the fulfillment of the promise, and through him, the nations of the earth will be blessed. How can God say I should give him? That means that if God says I should give him, then God's going to raise him up again. Because it is through him that the promises have to be fulfilled.
So he thought it through and became fully persuaded. So, and brethren, we also can do the same. When working with God, we must do the same. We must also progress it, because revelation is progressive. God, that thing God gave you, one day God granted to give it up. You can have to give part of it up. It may not be something that is locked. You can give part of it up. You can have to do something, you know. You know, and you have to obey. You don't say, I reject that in Jesus' name. I bind this. No. We are doing the will of God. And the point I want to bring out here is that the same Abraham took the son. So the son was the most important thing to Abraham. Pleasing God was the most important thing to Abraham. Loving God was the most important thing to Abraham. It wasn't always like that. Abraham wasn't always like that. Many times that son thing was so front and center in his life. But after a while, he outgrew it. So brethren, we need to grow so we can outgrow these things. Amen. Amen. In Jesus' name. Now, finally, holding the head. How do we hold the head? But let's read together. And not holding the head, from which all the body, by joints and bands, having nourishment ministered and knit together, increased with the increase of God. How do we hold the head? By staying submitted. Firstly, to the word of God. And secondly, to apostolic fathers in the church. Because through them, Bible says, God has set some. Very important. He has set some. And we are built upon the foundation of apostles and prophets. So we need to discern who they are and submit to them. It is from them that nourishment is being ministered. It's not whose church you are. It's a spiritual thing. It's done by the Holy Spirit. You can be in any church. You can be in any church. This thing is a spiritual distribution that God has done, because it's about viable parts of the body. If a part of the body is not viable, God just sidesteps it and passes nourishment through another part. It shunts excellence. What an excellence. It's a shunt. You know, medicine, we use a shunt. If there's a blockage somewhere, you take something and create a connection between where it's supposed to go and where it was blocked, and you create a shunt. So many times, you know what God does? He shunts in the spirit. Yes. So people, somebody is supplying you who you don't even know. Yes. Somebody is supplying you don't even know. You don't even know the person. That's why the Bible says you should wait. Don't judge anything before it's time. Then we will see who is who. So don't get caught up with numbers. Don't get caught up with the amen. No. The important thing is to stay submitted. Amen. And stay connected. Because why? From it, nourishment is being ministered. And that nourishment is coming, you know, through the fathers. Amen. Look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 16, as we begin to close. From whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, make it increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. What's he saying? He's saying that life that is coming from the fathers, it enables you as an individual to grow up. And when you grow up, you can also dispense life to others around you. So that life is bringing an increase individually, and it's bringing an increase corporately, and it's compacting, it's bringing unity right at the same time. So that with that individual growth and collective corporate growth and unity, we grow up into him in all things. Give us verse 15. But speaking the truth in love, we may grow up into him in all things, which is the head. So we came, nourishment comes from the head, and then we grow up back into the head in all things. This is the will of God for us. So as we grow, the important thing we want to say here is as we grow into the perfection and the fullness of Christ, we are not going to be sidetracked by false doctrine. And we are going to be able to remove the grave clothes and live the way Jesus wants us to live. Amen. Amen.
Holy King. That was the word. As he was ministering,
There are two or three things I wrote down which I'd just like to amplify. Number one, what he said from Isaiah 40. Let's go there. Every valley shall be filled, every mountain and hill shall be made low, the crooked places will be made straight, and the rough places will be made smooth. And what I want to amplify there is this. You can see that this is a sequence of events. Very important. Valleys represent low places. So that means things like low self-esteem. Hills represent high places, which represents pride, high-mindedness. Crooked places is where you can't see clearly how things are. You've seen them in a crooked way. And rough places is, it may be straight, but it's not smooth. So you're going through a lot of unnecessary, you know, he said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. But when the, you know, try the expressway with the plenty of potholes and then go on it when it's smooth, you see the difference. You know, the journey is much more difficult, you know, when you got a lot of bumps on the road. But when the road is smooth, what the journey that would take you 3 hours on a very bumpy, you know, road with all kinds of potholes and all of that, the same journey will take you 45 minutes on a smooth road. Hello, somebody. And so it is spiritually. So what we and what I want us to see, or what the Lord just, and I have been skipping from these scriptures for years myself, but I just saw something. It says, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed. In other words, until these things are done, the glory of the Lord cannot be revealed in your own individual life. So in your individual life, you must use the blood, the word, and the spirit to fill your valleys, bring your mountains, straighten your crooked places, you know, smoothen your rough places. It's when those things are done in your soul that the glory can be revealed in you. So it's a sequence. Those things are sequential to the final event of the manifestation of the glory. And so that you will believe it, God said, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. Because God knows us. I think one of the most difficult things for us to believe today, in the light of 2,000 years of Christian history, that has majority of it has been, laced with defeat. It's difficult for us to believe that the glory can be revealed in us. Most Christians don't believe it. You know why? They look at their body. They look at the experience. Then they look at the church. They look at the pastors. They look at the bishops. They look all around. Then they look at what the Bible says. It's not possible. Yeah. Most Christians don't believe what we preach. They don't believe it. The infirmities of the flesh are so large. And Christian experience, like I was preaching somewhere recently, when last you see anybody turn water to wine? Can you answer that question? Turn to your neighbor. I'm asking you a question. One woman, turn to your neighbor and say, when last did you see anybody turn water to wine? When last did you see anybody feed 5,000 people with 5 loaves of fishes, 5 loaves of bread and 2 fishes? When last did you see that? Let's go a step further. When last you see anybody walk on water? Maybe you saw it once or twice. Do you see why it's difficult for you? It's difficult. It's difficult. You know, if we had seen one or two examples, you know, of course we know the Bible says it, Jesus, you know, but in our contemporary experience, you know, when I say contemporary, not even the time when you're alive. For example, a lot of things that have helped me are not even things I've seen. They're things I heard from fathers. And because I heard it from people who lived in my own contemporary situation, I knew it was true. You know, just this last Thursday, which was June 1, Mrs. Porter was 100 years old. You know, And I gave her a call from here, from Nigeria here with FaceTime, you know, and greeted her and everything and thanked her, you know, and she said, Olubi, please pray for me. I said, yes, Mrs. Porter. You know, I prayed for her and, you know, we just shared, you know, they, of course, used to stay in their house. Smith Wigglesworth used to stay in their house. So it wasn't something I just read in a book. And this same Wigglesworth has raised the dead. 14 times documented. They are all undocumented ones. Leave the dead body. Say, walk in Jesus' name, fall down. By that time, you and I, all our faith, we just, even if you had the faith to even try, I hope that sugar said, bro, my faith is okay. Three times. He said, when God tells you something, let the devil talk you out of it. Push the body, walk. Thing fell down again. Push the body for the third time. Walk. The man started walking. The whole place scattered. But when last did we see that? When last did we see that? You know, I was sharing with somebody recently, you know, this generation, I'm talking about your generation, I thank God for my generation that at least some of us heard from and had contact. Mrs. Porter was born in 1917. She got born again when she was 12 years old. That was 1929. My mommy was only 1 year old. She got filled with the Holy Spirit. I don't remember exactly when, but a few years later. These are people who have been around. So when they were there today, I thank God I had a connection with those kind of people. So I heard things from, as it were, the horse's mouth. So it helped me. It helped me to, you know, but this generation, I'm talking about, you know, some of the younger ones now, they don't even read. We used to read. We would read the books of John G. Lake, and we would read the books of Old Wigglesworth and E.W. Kenyon and Kenneth Hagin. And some of those things we read, you know, this was in our contemporary situation, we knew that these things are possible because these men did it. All this generation knows is breakthrough and anointing oil. Yeah. So it's difficult for them to believe that the glory of God, the kind of things we're talking about, you know, people think I'm living in a dream world. The pastor is totally out of contact with reality. Your reality. You live in an alternate universe. I'm living in reality. Because the word is reality. The Holy Ghost is called the Spirit of reality. It's because you don't know God. That's why you think the things we're saying, you know, are highfalutin and you know, unreasonable. And no, they're not. This is the word of God. God is having a generation that we believe these things and that we walk in it and that we manifest it in this hour. So he said, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. So that's one very important thing, you know. So recognize. So well, you see, how many people want to see the glory of God? Give me a wave offering. Wave properly. Amen. Now keep that hand waving, you know, and then turn to your neighbor and say, fill your valleys. Lower your mountains. Make your crooked place straight. Make your rough places smooth. And then your wave will become a reality. Now give the Lord a clap offering with the other hand. You're not going to see the glory of God if you don't start filling those valleys. And if you don't start lowering those mountains, especially those mountains of pride, and you don't start straightening out those crooked places, that's why you need to hear the kind of word you're hearing. Because, you know, a crooked place, a crooked road is something that's not straight. You can't see it correctly. That's why you need clearer revelation. Make the rough places smooth. Those are all prerequisites to the glory. The second thing I wanted to bring out, like Pastor Conley mentioned, and when he said it, it struck a chord in me, because the Lord had just spoken to me about the same thing using another Bible character. The importance of contending for the truth when it's fundamental. Now, I ought to repeat the word when it's fundamental. It is not all the time. In fact, it is not wise to fight about every little thing. You know, the Bible says that if you rebuke a scorner, you get yourself a blot. So sometimes it's actually not wise to overtalk and argue all the time and all that. But there are times when it is necessary. When Paul did this thing, it was fundamental. You know why? Paul and Barnabas were the guys who were teaching that the fact that the Gentiles are no longer under ceremonial law. When Peter now tried to dissimulate and eat with and Barnabas joined him, they were passing a wrong message to the brethren. The very fundamentals of what they were teaching were being undermined. And these were the pioneers. There wasn't anybody else. There was no other person who was preaching or teaching these things. Paul and Barnabas were the pioneers. This revelation was given to Paul personally. It was absolutely necessary for him to stand and say what he said. And God allowed it to be recorded in the scriptures for posterity. Another person who did something like this, two sets of people really, was Mordecai. Mordecai refused to bow to Haman. It was fundamental. Do you know that's what actually led to the deliverance of the Jews? That's why I say it struck a struggle. I was reading my Bible, Jejeli, you know, just a few days ago. My normal, you may not believe it, I read my Bible, just like you. I don't read only on Sunday when I want to preach. Another message for another day. You know, I was reading my normal Bible reading, and I read that story again. And God told me, he said, do you know, if Mordecai had not stood up to Haman, the whole of the book of Esther would never have come to pass. That was the trigger. When he stood, this Bible says that, and now, after Esther had married the king and everything, she was in the palace, Mordecai said, don't tell anybody who you are. Then everybody, you know, then the devil started working. It was the devil that promoted Haman. Another message for another day. I just want to say, the fact that somebody is promoted or he wins something, well, it doesn't necessarily mean it's God who put him there. Especially if it's done in unrighteousness. God will use it. But trust me, the righteousness of God will still prevail in the long run. Haman was promoted by Ahasuerus, by the emperor himself. And he advanced him above all the other princes. So much so, everybody was cowering and bowing to Haman. So when he's coming in the morning, you know, when he's come to the court of the king, you know, all the princes, everybody did this. Mordecai stood. Haman, in fact, didn't even notice. Because, you know, there's so many people. It was the people around who said, this man, they said you should bow. He said, no, I can't bow, I'm a Jew. Then they went to report to Haman. Now watch the wisdom of God and how God will use your own infirmity to fulfill his will without violating your free will. You know, Haman was so powerful that if he had taken Mordecai as an individual and killed him, there would have been no question. That's how powerful he was. Because the king would not have asked him. You know, he could have just said, go and get that Mordecai and kill him. But the Bible says that Haman was so infuriated, he thought it was a small thing to deal with Mordecai alone, that he will finish the entire Jewish tribe. That was God's trap. Fundamental issues. Thou shalt not bow to any other god. And when that very decision of Haman, of his own free will, because of his pride, was his very downfall. The minute he made up his mind he would kill not only Mordecai but all his people, his fate was sealed. You know the rest of the story. I don't have to go into all of that. But where did it start from? Mordecai standing on principle. There are times when it's fundamental. You have to stand on principle. You must not compromise. The second group of people is Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. The same principle. The same principle. Everybody bowing because of the fire. They said, we will not bow. Throw us in the fire. It doesn't matter. Our God. That's what the Bible means. Is you love not your life unto the death. That's how to overcome the devil. Christians who are still afraid of their life, they haven't learned how to fight. You're not a veteran. You know, a few bullets will scare you. When you see professional mercenaries and soldiers at the war front, they can be eating while shells are going. You know why? They're used to it. I remember one film I watched in World War II, and these guys were flying in, you know, to somewhere in, to go and bomb somewhere in Holland or somewhere, you know, when it was still occupied by the Germans. And, you know, all these little boys, 17 years old, just new paratroops, you know, and they were inside the plane, you know, and they were flying into Germany. And the German flak means anti-aircraft fire, you know, was coming, pow, and the plane would do like, you know. Then they had an older commanding officer. That one had been, he had fought in Italy, he had fought in, you know, North Africa, you know, he was, you know, so he was sleeping. The other boy said, Colonel, what's going to happen? What's going to happen? He said, what's all that? He said, just flak. And in that particular movie, I believe it was a true story. It was based on a true story. You know, that boy, he was so afraid he was going to die. So he now told his commander, he said, promise me I won't die. That one said, how can I tell a kid like this? He said, promise me, give me your word. I have confidence in you, Colonel. Just promise me I won't die. He said, looked at him. You won't die. He said it by faith. He said, you won't die. He said, because you told me. Then the boy took up courage. The boy was mortally wounded in his, you know, he got a shot and all of that. And there were so many casualties, and they didn't want to operate on him. You know what his commanding officer was? He took the boy and put him on the operation table and told the who was a senior, although he was a doctor, he was senior to him, and said, operate on him. He said, no, his chances are almost nil. And I have a lot of other people now. Can I get out of here? He just drew his gun. He said, operate on him now. The guy operated on him, and the boy survived. And you know what? At the end of it, he took his gun, went back to his senior, and said, take me in. You know, court martial me. I did the wrong thing. But I kept my word to that boy. And you know what the commanding officer did? He said, you did a really crazy thing, but I'm glad you did. Take your gun. Man, that's a movie, man. Those are the kind of films I watch. I don't watch all this rubbish. Are you listening to me? You know, there are times when it's fundamental. You need to stand. Even if it looks as if it's going to cost you your life. That's the difference between the boys and the men. He stood. So we won't bow. Throw us in the fire. God can deliver us. And even if he doesn't deliver us, it doesn't matter anyway. We're not going to bow. You know what that thing did? It changed the laws of Babylon. Because when those boys came out of that fire, Nebuchadnezzar said, there is no other God. I thereby make a decree. Sometimes to change the laws in our nation, we have to have men who will stand on fundamental and say, no, this will not rise. Unrighteous decrees need to be disobeyed and spoken against. Now, when it's fundamental, no one has to do with your girlfriend. Or... So, that's a very important lesson there from Paul. Because Paul stood for the truth percolated to all generations. Because Mordecai stood for the truth, Haman was destroyed and the Jews were preserved. Because Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego stood for the truth, the unrighteous decree of Babylon was changed, and it was now changed to favor the people of God. He said, I therefore make a decree that anybody who says anything against the God of Abraham, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, let his house be made a dunghill. He just put the law of God on the national platform. When we stand for truth on fundamental things, God will back us and change our nations. Stand to your feet. Hallelujah. Have I helped anybody here? Glory to God. Oh, hallelujah. Don't be afraid of death. I didn't say go and die. But say, don't be afraid of it. Don't be afraid of it. Don't be afraid of it. You know, the bravest people on earth should be Christians. Yes. You know why? You know where you're going. The other guys are afraid because they don't know where they're going. Now, of course, you won't die. Come on, you're not going to die. Are you listening to me? You will live. You will not die. But don't be afraid of it. If you're afraid of death, there are certain battles you won't enter. And there is no victory without a battle. So if you're afraid of death, there are some certain victories you're not going to get. Mm-hmm. Simply because you will never enter the battle because of your fear. And therefore you will not prevail over certain things. I don't know if you got my train of thought. I'm not saying you're going to die. I'm not saying you're going to be careless and just throw your life away. But I am saying that when it's fundamental, stand. Pastor Conley chose a very beautiful song and I'm in agreement with it. My hope is built on nothing less. Talk to God.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the Son.
Oh, this is beautiful.
His oath, his covenant,
hallelujah.
And his blood support me in the whelming flood when all around my soul is weighed. He that is all my hope.
Confess our sins and so clean with the blood from all unrighteousness. In Jesus' name we have life. Lord, have mercy on us as we pray. Father, I thank you for your word that has come to me this morning, putting me into remembrance that Christ is the solid rock. Christ is the substance. Now, once I walk in Christ, by your blood, your life, your power, and walk in love, I automatically fulfill all the conditions of the ceremonial and the moral laws. Not only that, as I do this, I cause all my valleys to be filled, all my mountains to be made low, all my crooked places to be made straight, all my rough places in my heart to be made smooth, creating a highway through which your glory can come and be revealed. Help me, Lord. Have mercy on me to be faithful to this high calling in Jesus' name. Neka tolo makutofre nengars. Li preke tofre nengars. Nera katolo mashingi tefrenes. Li katolo mashtofrenes. Luka tolo matolo mashala. La preke tofrenes. Zifri zofredekla. La preke tuske frenes. Zefrenengala. Jeleki tofre. Zufrede. Langara tuske frenes. Zofredeleka. Langa tuske frenes. Lupredela. Langa datle. Tolomotulom shangaras. Lambrika tuske fris. Zefridia. Yiki tufrene. Linga tuske fre. Lombrika glomotulo. Zeka. Zofre. Longara glomotulom tufri dufri shingara. Ziki tufre. Langa glomotulom stufreshe. Sufri defre. Lombrika glomotulom glomotulo frutufreshe. Zefre, longa glomatulum 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 stufresh, lombre de glomatulum stufresh, Zefre de les, Nefre de les, Jiki tufrenes, Zefre de les, Zefre dis, Lingetolos, Jiki tufrenes, Nongaras, Tolomas tufrenes, Tolofres, Tolomongaras, Jiki tufrenes, Zufrenes, Nikitolomangaras, Jiki tufrenes. In Jesus' name, you may be seated. When we're praying, the Holy Spirit whispered to me. It's always good to have, that's why the Bible is full of stories and characters, so we can get examples, good ones and bad ones, so that we don't copy the bad ones, and then we copy the good ones. I spoke about standing on fundamental issues. Now let me give an example of trying to stand on non-fundamental issues. And I'm going to use the example of the Lord Jesus Christ in two instances. Do you notice that John the Baptist went to speak against Herod about his wife? It's your business. I know it's fundamental as far as individuals are concerned, but that had to do with nation or God. You know Jesus didn't join him. Jesus never spoke against Herod. Jesus knew. Because John Baptist is alive. Because of his attitude towards the Lord Jesus Christ. See, there are times that that's why we need wisdom. There are some issues you don't go and start, you know, get yourself about and all that. You know, a man's personal life is his personal life. What he does is God is going to judge him more. But sometimes that's not what God sends you to go and do. It's very different from bowing to an idol on a national level. Another example, and Jesus said it this way, you know, they came to him and he said, shall we give tax to Caesar or not? Immediately Jesus saw the trap. They wanted to use whatever he said and take it to the authorities to say that the man was inciting people not to obey the government. And Jesus said, show me a coin. Whose image and superscription is this? He said, Caesar. Good. He said, therefore, give to God that which is God and give to Caesar that which is Caesar's. End of story. You know, some silly Christians will try and incite the people because Pilate and the Roman Empire were an oppressive government. That's not fundamental. So you need to have the wisdom of God. Jesus didn't bite that bait. Did he deal with the Roman Empire? Yes, by the Spirit. The 12 boys he left behind shook the entire empire and turned the world upside down. You didn't do it by telling people not to pay their tax. You cannot fight spiritual battles with carnal weapons. The Lord bless you.